Once there was a young man who enthusiastically joined a monastery. Wanting the highest and the very best, the young monk immediately took the vow of silence. This solemn vow meant that the monk could only speak two words a year, and those were reserved for his annual evaluation with the abbot. The first year passed, and the abbot asked the monk how he was doing, and without hesitation, the monk replied, "Food bad." Another year passed, and the abbot again asked the monk how he was doing, and with his two words, he said, "Bed hard." When asked for an evaluation at the end of the third year, the young monk said, "I quit." "Well," said the abbot, "I'm not surprised. All you've done since you come here is complain, complain, and complain." You could say that the young monk had a problem with his thinking patterns. I'm quite convinced that to keep our experience fresh so that we are empowered for mission and discipleship, we have to be sensitive to the need to adjust what we are doing, how we live our lives, how we change our attitudes, how we do our work patterns. And for me, one of the regular adjustments that I have to make is to my thinking. In one of my daily devotional books, I was reading a paragraph, and the author begins her comments for the day with this paragraph on the screen. "Having just spent a couple of days with some good friends, I confess to feeling uncomfortable. Their company was great, their hospitality wonderful, but I am challenged about our conversation. I realized that it was mostly negative, and I was the one who set the tone for our time together." As I read that in my devotions, I was greatly challenged by what she said. Because as the lady reflected on her interaction with her friends, I was reminded as I read it that in living alongside my neighbour and loving my neighbour, I am the one who sets the tone for that living and for that loving. And how do I do it? I do it through the way that I set my mind, the way that I channel my thoughts. And that's not just about how I live in society, it's about how I live here in this church fellowship of ours. I can identify with the lady in my devotional book, because too often I allow my thoughts to be dictated by negative thoughts instead of good, helpful thoughts. I guess I'm not alone. The Bible has plenty of good advice to help us and encourage us to think great thoughts. It's also got plenty of examples of godly folk who've allowed their thinking to go down the wrong pathway. For example, you think of the great prophet Elijah. You know the story. There he was, faced by the prophets of Baal. He built an altar. He insisted that they drench it with water. He promised believing. He even taunted them, knowing his trust in God was unmovable, that God would indeed defeat them. And defeat them, he did. And yet within a space of hours, Jezebel turns up. Jezebel threatens him. Jezebel says things to him, and suddenly we have one of the greatest U-turns in biblical thinking. He does a 180-degree shift, and from being the great man of trust, the great man who believed in the power of God to do anything, we find him scared and running off to Horeb. And there, under a tree, his thinking comes to the point of saying, "Woe is me." And God finds him there and says, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And in a sense, God rebukes him and sends him back on his way to do the ministry that he'd asked him to do. In a sense, what was happening in Elijah's thinking pattern? To do such a great U-turn from being so positive to being almost as though he was saying, "I can't cope with this. I'm running." He needed God's intervention to get his thinking and his mindset back on the right direction. And you know, the way we live often comes from the way that we think. our emotions, our actions, they flow from our thoughts. You know, I believe that thinking great thoughts puts us well on the way to making a better me. On those days in life when I'm not great, I can assure you I can accompany those days with some negative thinking that's coming into my life. You know, it's all right to talk about thinking great thoughts, but I always have the problem, how do I stop thinking the not so great thoughts? And actually, you can't stop thinking negative thoughts by trying hard not to think them. You can't decide, I'm going to deal with this by having a behavioural plan that seeks to suppress negative thinking. You can do something else instead. And this is Colossians chapter 3. And this morning, if you remember no other verses from Colossians chapter 3, remember this one, because this is the one that I want to focus on. Verse 2. Set your minds on things above. That's what Paul tells them. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You can do something to influence your thoughts. You can set your mind. You can choose how you want to think about things. John Ortberg, in one of his books, The Me I Want to Be, uses an illustration of a dog and a cat, and they live in the same house, and they each write a daily diary. This is the dog's one. 8 a.m., dog food, my favourite thing. 9:30, a car ride, my favourite thing. 9:40, a walk in the park, my favourite thing. 10:30, got rubbed and petted, my favourite thing. 12, lunch, my favourite thing. 1 p.m., played in the yard, my favourite thing. 3 p.m., whack my tail, my favourite thing. 5 p.m., milk and bones, my favourite thing. 7 p.m., got to play ball, my favourite thing. 8 p.m., wow, watch TV with the people, my favourite thing. 11 p.m., sleeping on the bed, my favourite thing. This was the cat's diary. Day 983 of my captivity, my captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. The only thing that keeps me going is my dream of escape. Two creatures, same circumstances, different experiences. Why? Simple. A different way of thinking. End of story. The dog was grateful. The cat thought it was entitled to something else. John Milton, in his great poem Paradise Lost, says this: the mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. The mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. It's so important, isn't it, that we set our minds well. Every day I try and go onto the internet just to read the whole Daily Mail on the internet feed, just to see what's going on, to see who my football team sold today for umpteen millions of pounds, to see what's going on in the town that I grew up in, to see what's happening around the city that my mum and dad still live in. And I was reading a story in the whole Daily Mail on Thursday evening. It talked about a court case that had come to court during the week, of an incident that had happened last year, July. It was a summer's evening, beautiful summer's evening, around 8:30 in the evening. And CCTV recorded a car coming from Grimsby onto the Humber Bridge. And as it came onto the Humber Bridge, it sped up to 100 miles an hour. And then suddenly, in the middle of the bridge, the driver put on a full left lock. And he crashed into the barriers, and he ended up inches from the edge on the pedestrian walkway. I mean, sadly for this guy, he'd intended to do that. He was in a bad place. And for him, he wanted to just end it all, and that was his way of doing it. Thankfully, that crash barrier did its job. But only just. Only just. It didn't manage to keep the car on the road, but it managed to slow the car enough that it tipped over the edge onto the pedestrian walkway and didn't have enough momentum then to crash through the pedestrian railings and over the other side of the bridge. You never appreciate as you're driving down these motorways what the crash barrier does until you need it. I've never, thankfully, had to go into one. But one would hope that it's actually in a good working order when I do, if I do. And in the thinking, in our thinking, it reminds me of the need to set healthy boundaries. What does a crash barrier do? It provides a healthy boundary for our driving. How much more in life, in our thinking, do we need to set ourselves healthy boundaries? To help us think great thoughts, we need to set ourselves healthy boundaries. God, throughout the Bible, has established clear boundaries for the protection of his people. And God's boundaries are given to us as acts of love. I think some people think boundaries are there to be like a prison cell. No, boundaries can bless. Boundaries can create beautiful order. They don't have to imprison us. And so when it comes to the way we set our minds, healthy boundaries are important. We have the freedom to decide what our mind will dwell upon. We have the power to choose what we pay attention to. And we can help our thinking process by putting in place boundaries. I went to a meeting the other day, and it was one of those meetings where, like I was talking about earlier, I wasn't in the best frame of mind going. I got into the car. It was really something I wasn't sure I wanted to go to in the first place. But I went to the meeting. And so I sat through the meeting. And as the meeting was progressing, I could find myself getting more and more wound up by the meeting. And halfway through the meeting, they decided to have a coffee break and a biscuit. Phew. Now, I've recognised that in my life, these times occur when I don't engage well with something, when my thinking is not brilliant. And so when that point of coffee came, I knew that the worst thing I could do was stay in the room where the coffee was. Why? Because I'd grab my cup of coffee, I'd grab my biscuit, and I'd start moaning to the next person about how bad this meeting was, or what we're doing here. And that would then go on to some other bad thought, and some other bad thought. And so what I did was, recognising that that was not a good place for me to be, I took my cup of coffee and biscuit and went outside for a walk to reset my mind in the hope that the second half of the meeting would be better. It wasn't, but hey, I tried. But do you see what I'm saying? This is about setting a healthy boundary. I know that at times, if my thinking process is not in a good place, I need to set a boundary, which is not to encourage it to think even worse. And therefore, the boundary for me that morning was get out the room with my cup of coffee and reset my mind. I think one healthy way of setting boundaries is learning to monitor our thoughts, to removing those unwanted visitors that come into our thinking every day. I'm quite sure when you go to bed, you reflect on your day, you think of what you've done. I wonder how many of us actually ask the question, so what was my thinking like today? Was it good thinking? Was it good thinking? You know, one of the most famous verses in the Bible was actually doing that. Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Everybody knows that verse. What was the psalmist actually doing? The psalmist was actually saying to God, God, help me to monitor my thoughts. Help me to assess the way I think. It's so important to learn to become aware of the thoughts that flow through our minds and the nature of those thoughts. And this is where Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said an important thing. There in chapter 4, verse 8, you'll know it well. He said this to the church at Philippi. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. That's what he said. And in saying that to the Philippians, he was saying, get your mindset right. Monitor your thoughts. You know, God's desire for us is to have a mind that thinks noble, true, beautiful, lovely thoughts. And to do those things as a matter of habit, not because we have to make a choice to do such things. God wants it to be habitual that we think like that, not that we have to wake up and decide, I'm going to think nice things today. A headline caught my eye in the paper the other day, and it simply said, misery loves company. Misery loves company. I smiled at first because I recognised the truth in the statement, but then the smile quickly disappeared when I thought of the number of times that I can be a real misery. If you go back to that lady in question and her quotation that I read to you right at the very beginning, having just spent a couple of days with good friends, remember the quote? I sense in writing that paragraph she had a twofold disappointment. Firstly, she was disappointed that she spoke negatively. But secondly, and more importantly, I think she was disappointed that her negativity set the tone and the behaviour for everybody else in the group. Because she'd been negative, that had allowed others in the group to feel free to do likewise. You know, sometimes the way we think is catching. The way we think is catching. When I'm a misery, I can attract miseries. It's true. Our thoughts affect our behaviour, and that in turn affects the thinking patterns and behaviour of other people around us. She spoke negative thoughts, and those thoughts were catching. And yet, flip the coin, it's equally true of great thoughts. When we think great thoughts, those thoughts are catching as well. That banner started 6 months ago in Birmingham. And in Birmingham, the idea was to try and get over the bad feeling in the city caused by the referendum. Do you know what? Manchester's decided to catch on to this, and they're doing it. So are Leeds, so are other cities, because a good idea and good thoughts catch on. And when we think good thoughts, it's catching. Just a question for you as we come to the end this morning. What are the closest people to us catching from our thinking? What are those who are closest to us thinking or catching from our thinking? I'm quite convinced that our attitude towards loving our neighbour is determined by the way our mind is set. I only have to turn on the news today and I can see how a change in mindset affects the way people think about their neighbour. And I'm quite convinced that my attitude towards loving my neighbour will therefore be determined by the way our mind is set. And so as we come to the end this morning, I've just got a few questions for you that'll appear on the screen. What direction are my thoughts leading me in? This morning, what direction are your thoughts leading you? And here are four simple statements to take away. Think great things. Set healthy boundaries. Monitor the way that you think. And most importantly, set your mind on things above. Loving our neighbour is determined by the things that we think. Let's pray together. Just for a few seconds, in this quietness of the morning hour, I'm going to give you a few seconds just to consider the way that you think. How's your thinking today? Are you the kind of person who thinks great thoughts? Or are you like the lady, allowing negative thoughts to dictate your behaviour and your actions? Are you someone who sets healthy boundaries to help you in your thinking processes? Do you monitor your thinking to constantly adjust your mindset? Most importantly, this morning, is your mind set on things above? Father God, today we recognize that in loving our neighbor, in having integration with one another, a lot of our actions, a lot of our behavior comes from the way in which our mind is set. We all recognize how destructive negative thinking can be. And so this morning, we would just ask you, by your Holy Spirit, to come invade our lives in such a way that by habit, we think great things because we set our mind on things above. It's not easy, Lord, so we ask that you'll help us to set some healthy boundaries. And we just ask that you'll give us the courage to constantly monitor our thinking, to remove the unwanted visitors in our thought patterns, so that we can be the people that Jesus would want us to be. Lord, help us today to set our mind on things above. Amen. Benediction from the Book of Hours. God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and at my departing. Amen. God bless you.